Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Today is part two of our two-part interview with a good friend of ours, Tom Donnan. Now, Tom, if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up. I mean, every time Tom and I get together, you know, we have an outline that we go over, but there is no telling what rabbit trail the Lord is going to lead us down. And it all deals with the end times. It all deals with what he is doing in preparing and showing the earth right now that the time is near. Now, today we're going to continue, and actually we're going to conclude our two-part interview with Tom today. So if you missed yesterday's episode, go back and catch up, because we don't have time to catch you up today. But we're just going to jump right back off in this. We're talking about the extreme weather conditions, the weather disasters. We're talking about space and asteroids and things like that, and it all deals with the end times. Jumping back in, here is our concluding portion of the interview with Tom Donnan. Yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, the impact that natural disasters have. Katrina down in New Orleans, they still have not recovered from it. Like 10 years later, and they're still suffering in some places down there where they haven't been able to rebuild. I mean, you know, this isn't, you know, people don't hear about it. You know, it's all in the news while it's happening. And then, you know, there'll be spotty news as, you know, relief is being sent in and all that. But then the next disaster happens somewhere else and all the news people pack up and leave. And these people basically are left on their own to fend for themselves. You know, oh, sure, you know, you got the government coming in and, you know, giving some aid and stuff like that. But the rebuilding part really is on them. You know, and that's why, you know, these farmers, the flood just didn't take out the corn and the wheat and all that. It takes away the topsoil too, you know. So they've got to go through and try and, you know, replow and get some good ground in there, because, you know, you take away the topsoil and all you're left with is, you know, compacted clay and stuff like that. What are you plowing up? Compacted clay. You know,
yeah.
I mean, so it's just not the crops they're losing. It's the ability to grow good crops. So, you know, they've got a lot of work ahead of them, you know, and unfortunately it's a terrible situation, because it cost them money to plant the crops to begin with. Now they got to go through the expense of cleaning it up. Then they got to purchase more seed and get the ground ready for another attempt at planting. I mean, you're talking triple and quadruple expenses. So what's that going to do to the prices, even if they have a crop? You know, and since there's a limited, you know, let's say instead of 100% of the crop, we end up with, you know, 60% of what we normally get. Well, their expenses went up. Who are they going to pass that cost along to? And since there's more of a demand for the resources that they're producing, what's that going to do with the prices? You know, supply and demand. I mean, and once they get used, you know, if they've been charging $2 a bushel for something, and now they're charging $5 a bushel, and people are buying it for $5 a bushel, what do you think's going to happen next year? Are they going to drop it back to two? Well, they'll probably cut it back a little bit, but, you know, it's not going back to two. It might go three or four, you know. So that's how inflation happens. You know, once people get used to paying that, it's like, you know, gasoline. You know, I don't think we'll ever see a dollar a gallon again.
Well,
because people are used to paying three and four, you know.
Yeah. But, no, when you pay three, you're happy for anywhere in the two range.
Exactly. Even if it's $2.99.
You know? Yes.
Hey, Tom, exactly. I want to interrupt right here. And give people an opportunity to get your contact information, just in case they can't stay for the end of the interview. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Well, I have a ministry page on Facebook. It's called Healing the Nation Ministries, and I have an open messenger link for there. They can reach me there or by email, which is healingthenationministries 1776@gmail.com, and they can get a hold of me that way. And so those are two ways that they can reach me.
Okay. That way, you know, if they can't stay for the end, I wanted to give them an opportunity to be able to write that down. Now, Todd, we can't get together without talking about signs in the sky. I mean, that's just something that we do all the time. Now, did you see the report of the huge fireball down in Australia? I mean, some reports say it was brighter than two or three full moons at one time. I call that daylight. And I'm surprised there wasn't a shockwave. Remember the asteroid the meteor that came down in Russia a year or so ago, and there's that big shockwave? I'm surprised there was no shockwave reported with that thing. And they estimate it was anywhere from the size of a walnut to 1 meter across. That's a pretty big, you know, area there that, you know, for size wise, but either way, that was a massive meteor. Did you see that report?
Oh, I was absolutely shocked. I couldn't believe it, you know, because we've watched those over the years as we, this last year as we've been talking, and you get a variety of different asteroids coming in, which turn into fireballs. There's a difference between a shooting star and a fireball, and then, of course, a meteor. It depends upon their activity. But the one that we're talking about here, it was absolutely huge. It wasn't just this little streak going across the sky or a little burst of light. This was turning night into day. Over a broad area. It wasn't, you know, it was like the horizon. The horizon just became
looked like sunrise. Light as day.
Exactly.
I seen one interview with this one lady. Said her and her family were watching some horror movie when all of a sudden this thing just lit everything, and they were like, they didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, that's a shocker. Yes, but so people know is that in the last 5 years, the American Meteor Society has a fireball log. And 5 years ago, I think maybe a little bit longer, there was an average of 300 to 500 fireball meteors reported around the world. And then it's like we took a turn in space and we entered into a different area. And we've been having close to 6,000 fireballs. And they show up with no time, no notice. Yeah. They just show up. Yeah. And so I was looking, you know, and it's got, you know, like the scripture says, it happens like in birth pangs. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have a rash of the fireballs, like you have a rash of the earthquakes, or you have other things that are happening, and then they kind of slow down. Yeah. All right? So the fireballs have been pretty consistent. And so, but the thing, there's definitely an increase. There's an increase in these different activities, which should be alarming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, we've talked before about these objects impacting the Earth. You know, and to be honest, usually, you know, that happens hundreds of times a day. But because of the microscopic sizes to, you know, just small pebbles, and they also occur in the daytime, so you don't see them or worry about them. You know, I mean, the shooting stars we see at night are usually like grains of sand, you know, and every now and then you get a good sized chunk of rock that comes down. But we haven't even talked about, and we talked about this before, we're not talking about it really today, about NASA's attempts to track those larger objects. But, I mean, they even admit they can't track all of them. I mean, there was one, a few months ago that we talked about that flew between the Earth and the Moon, and they didn't even realize it till it already passed us.
I mean,
and that was a large run. It was like a kilometer across or something. I mean, it was huge. You know? And if it would have entered the atmosphere, I mean, it would have caused catastrophic damage. You know?
Yeah. There was quite a few YouTubes that I came across where they're talking now specifically like with NASA about having some kind of probe or satellite for the purpose of nudging asteroids out of the way.
Yeah.
Because there is one that they say that in about 8 years, they are pretty convinced that this thing's going to hit the Earth. And so I think they're trying to get ready to see if they can do this by nudging this out of the way. And so it's nice to know that they are taking these things into effect. But if something doesn't show up until like 8 hours before it's going to, you know, fly by, well, that's a little too late. So, and we've been having a number of those.
Exactly. You know, and speaking of storms in space, did you see the report about the giant red spot on the planet Jupiter that is, you know, beginning to fall apart? And it's been observed for several hundred years through telescope stuff, and it's been the same, you know, but now it appears that it's falling apart. What do scientists have to say about that?
Well, I think they're pretty perplexed. And the reason is that it's been consistent.
Yeah.
You know, so what in the world is contributing to the facts, you know, the factors that this thing is becoming unstable? It's getting, you know, it's got them scratching their heads. No, it's so it's like a Levy Shoemaker, you know, where the comet, you know, they saw the comet coming. They knew that it was going to be there. They observed the effects of the comet colliding, you know, mm-hmm. with Jupiter.
Yeah.
And so they have their eye on it. But in this particular case, I don't think they know what's going on. Of course, how can you? Because
right.
you don't know what's going on the surface. But, yeah, it's something that makes you wonder and have curiosity as what's going on. Like they say that they have a moon that is going to be the closest to the Earth that we'll be able to have a better look at it. And I think it was Titan. The moon Titan. And so it's fun to watch that stuff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
To see our universe and our, you know, solar system and the different things that are happening.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, like I said, it's been the same for hundreds of years. And I was reading that not just Jupiter, but just the giant red spot, that giant storm, it said several hundred Earths could fit inside that thing. I mean, that's how huge this thing is, you know? When they said that, it's like, wow, you know? I mean, can you imagine? That's the storm, let alone the size of Jupiter. I mean, it's just a spot. I mean, how huge is Jupiter? Good Lord, you know?
And yeah.
To think that our God just made that for a reason. What the reason is, I have no idea. But, I mean, I could see, like, you know, several, you know, United States could fit inside this. That's one thing. Several hundred Earths could just fit into the storm cloud. I mean,
I know. It's mind-boggling.
Man, our God is awesome, you know?
Yes. From the biggest thing to the smallest thing, it all cries that there's a creator.
Amen. Amen. That's right. And even atoms have their nucleus and electrons that orbit it, just like the solar system, you know?
Whoa.
I mean, they're all designed the same way. So that's one thing I liked about that movie, Men in Black, the end of the first movie where they open it up and it's like this big condominium type thing, you know, and he opened up the Earth door and they're looking at all this stuff going on and said, we're just one part of one giant puzzle, you know? And I want, you know, sometimes I look at creation like this. I wonder if we're just, you know, like a little amoeba in the giant scheme of things. You know what I mean? Everything that we have going on here. But that's the awesomeness of God, you know?
It is. Yes.
Now, you know, the U.S. is planning on returning to the moon soon and then ultimately going to Mars. But, I mean, we're not alone on our quest. It's just not the United States anymore. From what I understand, India is trying to get to the south pole of the moon because they've detected possible ice, water-based ice anyway, in the craters of the moon on the south pole. And they say this could be a possible water source for astronauts to drink in the future, you know, if we build a colony on the moon. How weird would that be to drink a glass
man.
Of moon water?
Yeah, that'd be a pretty brave person right there. I don't know if there's enough filters for me to be able to be, strong enough to be able to drink that water. But, yeah, I think that's the thing where people are breaking off and we're having private companies that are doing space exploration. No, and we are seeing other, like India, smaller countries that are nations that are branching out. And so, I mean, it's like really exciting to see that these things are possible. And I know that they have their focus on Mars, you know. So I think the days ahead are going to be very interesting in seeing these things. You know, I love the face that, what is this, the fact that SpaceX can shoot it off and then re-land their booster rockets. That's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. Reland it at the launch pad. I mean, it's a landing pad, but I mean, it just comes right back down. I was like, that is so cool, you know?
Yes, it is.
To be able to do that automatically, it just does it by itself. You know, computers. I mean, have it pinpoint the landing. And I seen one video several months ago. Two of them landed at the same time.
I remember that.
Simultaneously, at least, you know, I was like, that is so awesome, you know? Hey, man. Speaking of colonizing the moon, We know SpaceX is a commercially viable program that's been assisting NASA now in resupply missions to the space station. But did you hear that they're almost ready to offer commercial flights to the space station? How cool would that be?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that most of us will be able to buy a ticket.
Yeah. Would you go?
Oh, I don't. I think I would.
Yeah. You know, I'd go. Yeah. Matter of fact, will you buy me a ticket for Christmas?
It's only $58 million.
Well, what's the problem?
And then 30. Yeah, I know. And then $35,000 a day. You know, for while you're
the
up
overnight
there.
Accommodations.
Yeah.
You great know, view this, though. You get a great view.
It's out of this world.
Amen. And they even provide you your own oxygen. So.
Whoa. I mean, what else could you ask for?
That's right. That's right.
But that is absolutely amazing. Now, I think there was some another program that's called SpaceX or you know, what about the ballistic? You know, where they're trying to design a plane that will go up into the upper atmosphere and then come down, and it's like a 20-minute flight to London, you know?
Yeah.
That would be a game changer.
I can't remember what the price was on that they were anticipating. I was like, man, I'd do that one, you know?
Whoa.
Just to fly up, get a couple pictures, and, you know, 20 minutes later, you land in another continent, you know?
That would be absolutely awesome.
But I got the selfie.
to prove it. Yeah.
That's right. Amen. That's awesome. Now, as we get ready to close, I want you to, because we talked last time about your book, One Door Between Us. How's your book doing?
Well, I have, you know, it's a mixed review. And that is that you have people that absolutely love it. And then you have others that are thinking, I don't know about it. And of course, it's going to happen everywhere. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that I like to write it from a Pentecostal point of view or a charismatic point of view, because I love serving a supernatural God.
Yeah.
And so when he shows up, it changes lives. And so there's mixed reviews, you know, on that. But the thing is that it also shows the ability of the things that God does in just a minor fashion, because he's a big God. And most of the time we have God in a box, and I like him to be out of the box. So, of course, when people are reading the story, I try to interweave the supernatural behind-the-scenes veil of what's happening in people's lives, like how does a healing take place, or how does a person receive salvation, and what does that mean for them, and how does it change them personally and spiritually, you know. So now that book is done, I have started to do the research on my second book, which is the associate pastor, let's say, of this ministry, where I met these incredible lady pastors with from the very beginnings of their lives. There was supernatural activity, the sovereign works of God. I love it when God just chooses to intervene into someone's life. It's phenomenal. But here's what happened is that I went to Bethany, Oklahoma to do some research. First time I did on-location research, and I couldn't find nothing. I'm thinking, well, why in the world? Usually people do this, archives and stuff. But if the fascinating part was is that I say this to people. I said, you throw a rock in Bethany, you're going to hit a church. I mean, they're everywhere. I was so shocked. It was absolutely amazing. So, but there was one little blurb in the foundation of this town, and it was about a Reverend C.B. Jernigan. And then I started to get into him, which led to somebody else, that led to somebody else, that led to somebody else. And the next thing I know, I am starting to get a picture of, let's say, we would call revival. But then now it's actually been refined. Because if you think about Acts 2:38, where it says that this is for you and for all those that are afar off.
Yeah.
All right. So Pentecost was absolutely wonderful. And then, of course, you have the harvest. There is a wonderful spiritual harvest that took place. Right? So what happens is a repeating cycle. You have a flames of Pentecost that burst out, and it winds up having a tremendous harvest. And then in subsequent decades, it becomes less and less until it comes down to an amber that doesn't look anything like the original manifestation or the experience.
Right.
So what does God do? He bursts up another Pentecost through another person, you know? And you can see it like in John Huss. and then it moved on to Martin Luther. And then from him, it went to Bonhoeffer, which influenced the Moravians. The Moravians, mm-hmm. they're absolutely phenomenal. And then they influenced the John Wesley. Yeah. No, and Wesley, he was on a ship going to America, and there was 26 Moravians that were coming in. They wanted to evangelize the Cherokee Indians. And so on the way over, the storm was so bad on this ship called the Simons that they were thinking, oh, man, one more wave and we're going to, it's going to take us down. You know, everybody is very serious or concerned and they're afraid. And then came a call from above the decks where this is all hands, you know, all the workers, all hands on deck, because the main mast had severe problems and was broken and the sail was ripped to shreds and they needed to clear it away. And here Wesley is concerned about his life and he's looking at these Moravians that are praising God. They're singing songs, they're praising God, they don't have any concerns, you know, and it shook him to his core, just like the disciples were on that boat with Jesus when he calmed the waters, you know, they were shook to their core. All right, so this is kind of like the reverse situation. Well, he came to Savannah, Georgia, and Wesley did, and he ministered there for 2 years, and in total frustration, he went back to London, and he looked for the leader of the Moravians and spent up to 5 months with him. And his brother was very seriously ill and received an instant healing. And that, again, shook him. So here's the interesting part. All right, so this Bonhoeffer, he's talking with John Wesley, and or the leader that was in London. I'm not sure how to interchange them. All right, but the point was is that he eventually said, listen, John, you're overthinking this. You see, John Wesley and his brother Charles, they had a group that was called the Holy Club, and they would search the scriptures in a pattern, and they became known as the Methodists because of their methods of searching the scriptures. All right. So this gentleman from the Moravian organization, he says, "Listen, John, you're overthinking this." Doesn't that sound familiar?
Yep.
You know,
Amen.
He says it's a gift, and he wound up receiving, you know, salvation and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And what happened is that he started a Pentecost because he was on fire. Then he came to America and he started to influence America with the Moravians, you know, and then it travels into Texas. And then you have this C.B. Jernigan that has given a flame and he influences that whole area. And then you got another 100 years, and the next thing you know, they're ambers, right?
Yep.
So now I believe we're looking at a time in America where we're seeing ambers. You know, there are some hot spots because I've visited some of them, you know, and but I think we are ripe for multiple flames to come, you know, multiple Pentecost to happen in our nation. No, because you can see there's this lack of the supernatural taking place that we have seen over and over and over again throughout the spiritual history. And I get excited about that because I love it when God shows up and changes lives and his spirit enters them. There was a Cherokee Indian chief that had a quote, and I wish I had printed it out, but for some reason I couldn't get it to print. And it was a quote something like this. He said, "I was sprinkled as a baby in baptism. I had a bad heart." He said, "I was a young boy, went to church, had a bad heart. I was an adult, went to church, had a bad heart." He said, "I had Jesus in my heart. I have a good heart."
Amen.
You see?
Amen.
And that's what happens. Yep. You know, we don't lose our identity. Amen. We actually get more of life in the relationship with God. And so I think to myself, oh, Lord, I want to see a tsunami wave of the Holy Spirit flow over this country and bring in 100 million or more into salvation because of the changed hearts and the better lives that take place because of it.
Yeah, amen.
So I didn't expect this when I was looking into the background because this this lady that I'm writing about now, she has both of them in her background, Cherokee Indian and from the C.B. Jernigan, a definite influence on both of her families. And I can't figure out how to start writing this yet. You know, I'm overwhelmed with the information because I just thought I was writing about one person. And then she has this spiritual, rich history. I was just blown away by this. But it comes back to the fact that, wow, as an in America, we need, you know, a Pentecost all across the country.
Yeah. Amen. That's a fact. Man, Todd, we have... Man, I can't believe time's already up. We always have so much that we can talk about every time you come on. You know, if someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question or maybe do an interview like this, how can they get in touch with you again?
Well, that would be by email, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com, or go to my Facebook page, which is Healing the Nation Ministries, and be able to contact me that way. And it would be great to have interviews. I was just down in Taylor, South Carolina, on WGGS with Pastor Annie Brighton. And I had a 40-minute interview with her.
Man.
And it's just like you and me. You know, where we start talking and we're having fun and we're swapping God stories. And the next thing you're thinking, I can't believe this is over.
Oh, I know. I've sat in a restaurant before talking with, you know, pastor friends. And we were at a convention. And, you know, we went out to lunch together. And we're just sitting there talking. And, you know, the waitress comes, gives us our lunch and all that. And, you know, she comes back, would you guys like to have dessert? Sure. You know, we keep on talking. And, you know, she comes back, want some coffee? Sure. We keep talking. And they say, would you like a dinner menu? Dinner menu? We got to go to, oh, my God, it's 5 o'clock. We missed the whole afternoon session.
Yeah. It goes by so fast. There's the joy in swapping God stories. I'm telling you, I love it.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we are all out of time for today. I want to encourage you to go to the link down below. I'm going to put the link to Tom's book down there, One Door Between Us. It'll be in the show notes. Get a copy of his book. It's a great book. It really is. It's a fascinating read and will bless you immensely. And get in touch with Tom Donnan. Invite him to come out and speak to your church group or your event. I mean, his wisdom on these subjects we're talking about, it's beyond comparison to anything I know. Amen. Tom, thank you again for coming on the program, buddy.
Thank you very much, Pastor. I enjoy it. We always have fun, don't we?
Oh, all the time. Each and every time. It's awesome. Folks, for Tom, Don, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.